The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're gonna be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals. I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
All right, we are here with Callie Jardine. Callie is a Pilates instructor living in New York City, newly. I just learned that she just moved there. I thought you had been there for a while. She owns the online Pilates studio, Sweaty Studio, and hosts her own podcast, Healthy But Human. So, Callie, introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited to be here. Yes, I just moved to New York City from Miami. So I was in Miami for 5 years. I went to college at University of Miami, and that's where I became a bar instructor when I was a sophomore in college, and then I got certified as a Pilates instructor, and then during 2020 summer, I officially started my YouTube channel and my TikTok for I'm Sweaty and I Know It, and then I opened my online Pilates studio and app, Sweaty Studio, this past January, and that's been like my full-time thing ever since. And I also have my podcast, which I rebranded. I took a big pause from it for like half a year and then rebranded it to Healthy But Human in, I think it was like December, I relaunched it. So that's been pretty fresh, but that's a little bit about me.
That's exciting. Yeah. In terms of your podcast, just because obviously we're talking on a podcast now, so I feel like podcast listeners are going to go to a podcast. What kind of things do you talk about? What's the vibe of your show?
Okay. So basically, it's called Healthy Be Human for a very reason. It's a very specific reason. And I, around like December-ish time, I was really struggling with, I just got out of a very long relationship in like October. So I was going through like single girl era, and I was like going out all the time. I was staying up super late, getting like no sleep, and doing all these things that I had previously never really shared or had thought was like healthy. And then I felt like a bit of an imposter on my social medias, and so I kind of had like an identity crisis, and then realized like, why am I trying to kind of hide like who I am right now and like what my life, like what I'm doing in my life? Like, I'm literally 22 years old, like I'm in my early 20s, I live in Miami, like why am I hiding this? So I started like opening up and sharing more about just like how you don't have to have like a picture perfect Pinterest aesthetic lifestyle to still be healthy. And like healthy can literally be defined in so many different ways, like whatever makes you feel healthy mentally and physically. So during December phase, or like October through March, was honestly like one of the worst moments of my entire life, and I was really going through it like mentally and physically. But through it all, like I was like sharing and opening up, like, look guys, like I'm struggling with not sleeping enough, I'm struggling with having healthy eating habits and not working too much, but like I am still being like healthy in other parts of my life too, and just showing that you don't always have to be perfect and you can still be going through your fitness journey without giving up, even when you're not always doing things that are quote unquote healthy for yourself. So that's kind of been just keeping it real. I wanted to make social media really real and approachable, especially in the health and wellness world. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you guys listening know how in Catherine and I feel kind of about health and wellness, how we have such similar views to that. We just recorded for Callie's podcast. So after you guys listen to this episode, you can go over to her show and listen to the interview that she did with us. But it was like so crazy. We were like taking words out of each other's mouths. Like, I think that we are so aligned on the way that we view health and fitness. So if you guys like the kind of things that we talk about here, I'm sure that you'll resonate so much with her as well. Yeah. I'm curious, you said that that chunk of time was one of the most difficult in your life. Was it like kind of a downfall from, had you felt like you kind of had been like at a peak of health and fitness before that, or it was that kind of the start of your journey altogether?
So, okay. So like a little bit of a backtrack.
Yeah. Let's take it back.
I've kind of been in like the health and wellness world since I was 8 years old, okay. Strangely enough, because I was a competitive figure skater for my entire life. So I was always very, very into taking care of my fitness and my nutrition so I could perform at my best. And throughout all of that, I struggled a lot with lot of just disordered eating, mm-hmm. like some stuff, struggles with body image. Mm-hmm. A lot of that comes with kind of just a lot of like the individual sport pressures, especially like in dance, gymnastics, figure skating. It's pretty common to struggle mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
And I had some coaches who would like make comments about my weight and things like that. So I kind of had a weird relationship with myself. So basically I kind of went through a lot of waves with it and a lot of healing journeys. And like, I really got into like holistic health and wellness when I was in college around like my junior year. I became a certified holistic health coach. And that's what really, really like got me into seeing health in less of a, I'm going to count calories and I'm going to change how my body looks, and more of, I want to do this to feel really well, feel really good and feel empowered and confident and heal my relationship with myself. So I was doing a lot of like, just like mental health, like healing work. I was doing like meditation, stuff like that. So kind of my health and wellness journey changed a lot. And basically like the reason that I had one of the darkest moments of my life this past year was just because I had graduated college in 2021, and I had like an amazing summer that summer. I went to Hawaii. I had like a life-changing just self journey, whatever. I felt so in touch with myself. I was like thriving. And then I get back to Miami and immediately start my full-time consumer public relations job. And I was simultaneously trying to build my business on the side. And I ended up working like 12-hour days, and I was just like working constantly. And then I had a breakup with someone I'd been dating for like 4 years, all of college. Mm-hmm. And that was like a huge life shift for me, like everything happening with the job, working a ton, having like a ton of emotional just stress on me, and I like fell apart and hit just entire rock bottom. It was like, it was kind of bad. And I obviously like, I don't want to like trigger anybody, so if anyone's like struggling with like eating disorders or anything, obviously like feel free to skip this part, but like I developed an eating disorder, and I all of a sudden like wasn't like, my eating habits were like just like not good. Like I wasn't eating enough food, I wasn't sleeping enough, I was going out like every single night, and I was super out of touch with myself. And it was like, that was like rock bottom, and I was like struggling with depression, anxiety, like so through all of that, somehow I launched an online Pilates studio. And I kept like doing my social media and I was super open about it all. I was like, I'm a mess. Like I'm going through it. But I think that's the beautiful thing is I was really embarrassed to share all of my struggles, but I realized like I'm going through all this stuff for such a reason. And because I was able to share online what was happening, I was able to connect with other women who were going through similar things and we were able to support each other through it. So it was like a really, really cool moment of my life. And then I obviously like made like a lot of changes in my life and I started going to therapy. I started going to church. I started to just journal a lot and figure out like, okay, why am I not taking care of myself and why am I sabotaging my health and well-being for work? And I had like the past few months have just been, I think I mentioned this on my podcast when I was interviewing you guys, but I was in like a period of self-healing and kind of just like inward work, and I'm finally coming out of it and it's so empowering because I like look back and I'm like, whoa, this time last year like I started going down to rock bottom and now we're here. So yeah,
something that we talk about and that and Catherine I think touches on a lot is like when you go through those times of self-growth and stuff, it's like at what point do you then kind of not necessarily stop that, but stop chasing the next thing and just get to live as that new person that you've built. So it kind of sounds like that is the phase that you're entering now, where like not only have you gone through that inward phase of self-growth, of healing from all those things that happened to you, but like you've also built this business that like now is thriving and you're working for yourself. So it's almost like you've put in so much work on yourself, on your business, that now you're kind of like stepping into that life that has been growing for you.
Yeah, and actually living it and like being in it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I honestly didn't even think about that, but you're so right. Like, I think it's finally like that season of I can actually, like, I feel like refreshed again. And I feel like, obviously I'm a human being. Like, I'm not always going to be, I'm not like perfect. I'm still working through things, but yeah, it's like pretty cool to see how far I've grown. And I think like, something I wanted to like really fast share is I think I felt so weird launching an online Pilates studio when I was at such a low, because obviously you think of like the fitness world as an instructor of you want to be a good example for other people. And I had like a weird imposter syndrome with that. But I think what I've learned through all that is like there's never a perfect time to launch or build a business, or like for anyone who's a content creator and feels like an imposter, I think it's just like really cool to like open up and share like what you're going through, because it just makes people feel like they can relate to you. And I think it makes people like want to be part of the community you're building, because you're not like this unapproachable thing online.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting. And I was going to ask what that imposter syndrome was like, that, you know, you had gotten certified as a holistic health coach. You were a fitness professional, and then you still went through this dark time where you had a hard time taking control of your own health and fitness. And so it's almost like admirable and motivational for anyone who watches you and sees that, to say like, this is somebody who like literally is educated on this stuff, who has a business surrounding this, and like she still struggled when things in life like were thrown at her to stay consistent with that. So it's like anybody who feels that same way, like you go through a breakup or you go through a job change or a move and you're struggling with those healthy habits and you're like, why can I not get it together? It's like even people who are literally professionals go through times like that as well.
Yeah. And I think that was what was so tough, was because I was so hard on myself and I was like, I literally am aware of what's happening within me right now, and yet I can't make it stop. And I think that was what was so challenging, is like, I literally am certified in this. And I'm still going through it. So I love that.
I think the awareness, like whenever you're in like a low or a difficult or dark period or phase and you become aware of it and you start to realize, number one, that's like the first step in getting out of it. But number two is, I think understanding that you don't have to get out of it right then and there, because maybe you're not ready. I think awareness and like being ready to move past it are two different things. And that's like so painful to be aware of where you are and know that like you're more than capable and more than obviously qualified to, you know, be in a better place with yourself and with your life. But not being able to get there right then, like that is so difficult.
But I think a huge part of it for anyone who has or is going through a phase like that is like, you have to go through the phase. Like you have to complete it and let it run its course, and it will if you just let it.
Yeah, we had an episode recently called like, "So We Heard You're in a Slump," because I had a period this summer where I was like so unmotivated and so like felt like I was in a slump, like couldn't really get myself to do much. And similarly to kind of how you were feeling, where I was like, I knew it was going on, but I couldn't bring myself into the awareness of like, how do I get this back on track? And I know personally, like I had been just overworking myself so much for so long of a time and like overbooking my life, that then kind of when I hit summer and I just kind of like fell backwards, when I had like no like schedule or routine or anything to do, then I just like couldn't get myself to do anything anymore. And for so long I was like so avoidant to it, like I just started really avoiding all those responsibilities and stuff, until finally I was like, I'm wasting my time trying to force this right now, when really like maybe I just need this step back, and I can tell myself that I can take back control of my life when I'm ready to, but I don't have to force that right now. So what was that like for you? Like when you talk about your, this inward phase that you had and the self growth, at what point were you able to actually step into that and start taking that control back of your life?
So I think it was New Year's actually.
Guys, New Year's. We love a New Year's resolution. I mean, it's there for a reason.
Oh no. It was not a resolution.
No, it was like a moment. Like a New Year's low. Okay. Wait, I'm like excited about this. Like, yeah, a New Year's party story. Okay.
Oh, this is a story. This is a story for everyone listening. I don't even know if people like, I don't think I've ever like shared this. It's so funny. But
okay.
Basically,
it's easier to share it on like not your own platform almost. Like, it's just, like talk, say what you want to say.
Back to school, new season, new city, new phase of life, same obsession with Beam supplements.
For me, it's a protein powder obsession. There's literally nothing that I crave more, it's kind of embarrassing, than a refreshing protein smoothie or protein cereal.
And I'm a stan for pre-workout drinks with, like, you guys know I put lemons and, like, I always put in a cute glass. Like, pre-workout is the obsession there.
All of our supplements are from Beam, which stands for Be Amazing. It's a brand whose products and values we are always so proud to support. I use their vegan protein powder every single day, whether it's as a shake or in a recipe, and my favorite flavors right now are cinnamon cereal and peanut butter cookie.
And we love their greens. Honestly, best greens I've tried. I try to take them daily, but I definitely take them on days where I maybe don't have as many vegetables. They have a blend of all different fruits, veggies, superfoods, and micronutrients, so it fills all the gaps that I could be missing to help me feel my best.
They also just launched new flavors of those super greens. I think the chocolate ones are so fun and taste really great. So listeners of the podcast can use code GOALS at checkout for 10% off any Beam products at youcanbeam.com.
That's youcanbeam.com/goals. It's also linked in the show notes below if you want to click over.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché.
Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change. And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarche.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
Funny, I'm like an open book, and so I'm like, I don't know if I've shared this or not, but basically I was launching, so I pre-launched my online studio, so I had like a YouTube channel with all my workouts prior to launching my online studio, so I was like super nervous about launching something that was a paid subscription, because I was like, oh my gosh, like what if no one wants to pay for this?
Yeah.
So I was like so nervous, so I'd spent that entire week like pre-launching, doing all these things, like really, really prepping for a launch.
Yeah.
I was launching at midnight on New Year's, and I was like, this is like so exciting. I was giving everyone a free month. It was like a whole thing. So I started dating this guy in New York City, and I was doing long distance with him, and I flew up to New York City for New Year's, and we were going to do like a pregame for New Year's and then go out to a bar. And I ended up taking way too many peppermint schnapps shots, and I ended up like spending my New Year's hunched over a toilet with him holding my hair back, throwing up the entire night. And then I launched my studio while I think I was like between brown and blackout. Like I was so drunk. I remember launching it kind of remember when it like officially launched. I was like, oh my gosh. And I took like a picture, and I was like,
no way.
Oh yeah. And then I launched it. And the rest of the night, I was like actually dead. Like it was so bad. I wake up the next morning, and I was like, it was like probably one of the worst hangovers I've ever experienced in my life. Like I was so hungover. I was throwing up all morning. Oh. I was like on my phone, like scrolling through everyone signing up. I was like, I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Waking up at the same time. And I was like, this.
Like if only they knew.
I know. I was like, this is horrible. And I felt so physically just disconnected from myself and so, so sick. I was like, I hate this. I literally hate who I am. I hate like what I've become and like what, like I hate this. And I got so just fed up with myself. And I was like, in that moment, I think is when a little flip switched. And it wasn't like my whole life changed right after that. Like all my habits, everything shifted. Yeah. But I think it was like the spark of, wait a second, like my habits, how I'm treating myself is affecting like my business, like my baby. And that's when I was like, this can't be a thing. And I started going to therapy, I think like a couple months later, but it was like, that was kind of the start of like this thought process being like, wait, this is like, isn't good. And now like, I literally don't drink anymore. I like cut that out of my life. I was like, I can't. Yeah. Cause like, it was just making me feel so just disconnected to myself and like altering my like mood so much and making me so sick. Like I think I'm allergic to alcohol. It's a whole story. But yeah, so like that was kind of the moment where I was like, I just was so over it. I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, over it is like the feeling that it needs to get to. Yeah. Like not the point of like, oh, I want this to change, but like I'm so
fucking
over it. Yeah,
you need to like
it.
Actually I'm get so to a point where yeah, you're like, I was like, I'm done.
I was like where you're like sick of yourself.
Yeah, I'm a horrible role model right now. I should literally not be like, I'm launching a literal studio I've worked so hard for, months for, and I'm literally spending my morning throwing up because I drank too much alcohol the night before and was not taking care of myself because I need enough food that day, and that's why I was so sick.
Yeah.
So that's like, that was like the breaking point.
Yeah. But sometimes, honestly, I think like when you look big picture, you almost need the contrast of those moments, like no matter how awful they are, to set you into that next phase. Because yeah. I think it's hard to just keep steady and keep going. Like things, like life threw shit your way. Like you didn't get to that point for no reason at all. So it's like you almost had to have that low with the things that life threw your way. Like I was telling people recently, a lot of the time I think we say, like, how can you be strong enough to, like, not let things affect you? But I think, like, in reality, half the time it's how can you be okay with things affecting you and, like, you can still move on from it later. Like, you don't always have to, like, push through and be on top. Like, sometimes things do knock you down and it's like, how can you just, like, move past that without the guilt of it?
Yeah, and I think I kind of, looking back on it, am like, that stuff needed to happen because it's been able to open up so many really cool conversations with other women in my community, and, like, my story has, like, helped other women going through it. And I look back at literally every other struggle I've had years prior to that in my fitness journey and my self journey, and it's like, I wouldn't change that for the world. Like, I'm so grateful I went through it because it's literally helped people, and I know it was, like, all happening for a reason.
Going from, like, a point of, you know, getting certified as a holistic health coach, feeling like you really had your health together, to then this low point, how do you feel like that has kind of come together to create a balance now? Like, did you go right back to the way you were living before, or did it kind of open your eyes to, like, a bit of a shifted balance in general?
It definitely opened my eyes a lot because I realized that it's kind of, in the health and wellness world, it's like, okay, you guys have heard of orthorexia, right? It's like a,
yeah,
I think a lot of people in the health and wellness world struggle with orthorexia without even really realizing it. And I definitely did when I was in college. It's, if anyone listening doesn't know what orthorexia is, it's like, it is like technically an eating disorder. It's where you're very, very hyper obsessed with eating extremely healthy and to the point where sometimes it can get, like, restrictive for yourself, and it can be really bad for your own, like, personal and mental health.
And of course, like, overworking out to balance that out is, like, the other facet of it. But I remember, I feel like it's kind of a new, maybe it was like 4 years ago that it, like, became a big term in, like, eating disorder in the mental health space. But I think it's wildly common and of course, like, not super well known. But yeah, huge thing. And I think a lot more people struggle with orthorexia or have struggled with orthorexia than even know it.
And for me, it was like, I would feel insane guilt if I would eat anything that wasn't completely, like, like, if I'd eat anything processed. Like, if I wanted to have goldfish, I'd feel super, super guilty for eating goldfish. So I think it was like, okay, becoming aware that I was struggling with, like, not eating a food, and then also struggling with healing from, like, previous years of just a lot of fad diets, orthorexia, all this stuff, like, very just disordered eating tendencies is how I'd label it. So becoming aware of that, all of a sudden I was like, okay, well, I just need to get myself to eat food. I need to get myself to just fuel my body. And so I just completely scratched, like, any of that previous, I need to eat perfectly healthy to be healthy. And I started eating, like, whatever I wanted. I started eating goldfish for snacks. I love goldfish. I started eating, like, pizza. I started eating, like, cake, all this stuff. And it was really good for a while, but then I started to feel like my body was having repercussions of not giving myself the nutrients I needed. So I was feeding myself food, but it wasn't food that was making me feel really good. So it's kind of been, like, a bit of a battle and journey figuring out what's the good balance of fueling my mind, the happiness I get from eating a yummy snack that may not be as nourishing or nutrient packed as eating, like, a delicious grain bowl. So it's been navigating that, but I think what I've really come down to that's helped me a lot is truly looking at food as, it's like medicine. So what is the medicine that I need in that moment? Maybe I need medicine for my serotonin happiness. Like, I ate my birthday, like, a delicious chocolate cake, and I was like, yes, it's so good, I love it, I'm so happy. But then maybe in other moments my body is, like, needing that super nourishing, well-rounded grain bowl because I'm low in, I don't know, protein or something that day.
I
really need it. So I think, like, for me, it's been really just becoming self-aware, even with, like, fitness as well, like, what is my body really, really needing, and trying so hard to not compare myself to what other people are doing. Like, that's been the biggest thing in my healing journey that's, like, helped me so much.
Yeah, I think that if like anytime that I talk about like my disordered eating phase and stuff, I've never really put labels to it because for so long I was like, I don't know what label this is, but I know it was disordered. And so I've really come to realize, like, as I've learned more about orthorexia, that like if there was to like be a label on what I went through, like it would be orthorexia as well. The same thing where it's kind of, and it's almost like a glamorized eating disorder kind of, because it's like, you're just trying to like be as healthy as possible. You know, it, like there's a fine line between when does it go from like healthy to disordered? And I think it really is the like mindset behind it. Like, are you feeling guilty when you eat goldfish, or can you eat a few goldfish and be okay? Like, you know, and it's like, you can still be healthy, and it comes down to that mindset. And so I also think like when you said you kind of fluctuated like back and forth, where like you ditched everything and you let yourself kind of, you know, do whatever you wanted. And then you realized like, or not realized, but then you started feeling like, okay, maybe now there needs to be a little bit more of a balance to it. I think that is also so normal and such a part of people's journeys. And a lot of people who ask me for advice on things like that, like get really nervous about like, am I going to gain weight? Am I going to become unhealthy? And I'm like, you're not, because you're smart and your body will work it out eventually. You may for a few months or a year or something feel like you're overdoing it because your body's trying to regulate itself. But in the long run, like, you listen to like what your body needs and wants, and it's smart and it's going to work itself out. So now you've kind of found that like middle ground a little bit better.
And I think too, like going on the weight gain stuff, I think it definitely has been challenging. Knowing that I have gained some weight back and looking at old pictures of myself and being like, oh my gosh, I looked so good. But then realizing that, okay, yeah, I looked whatever good in my opinion, but like if I really look back and think how I felt when I took that picture, like it's just not even comparable to me in my happy weight right now. Like, I don't know. I think that's like if someone is like going through it and is in the recovery process and they're feeling like really just having some, just like a little bit of insecurity about like maybe gaining some weight back, whatever. It's like, literally think about how you were feeling when you were going through it.
Yeah.
And I think like for me, that's been like the biggest helpful thing with weight gain. And also as a female, our bodies fluctuate so much.
Constantly. Right. You honestly, like, where do I even stand? Like, I don't
literally.
I like gain and lose weight like every week. I think I look a little bit different. And you might have, because you literally do like fluctuate so much just like throughout like a monthly cycle. I like to say a lot, like, you're probably gaining back weight that you shouldn't have lost in the first place.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals, and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So I'm like, yeah, I look at a picture from 2 years ago and I was like so much skinnier and I could think like, oh, like I wish I like had abs like that now. But I'm like, one, I literally didn't enjoy that moment at all, like you were saying, but also that was a body where I had lost weight that I shouldn't have even lost in the first place. So of course I gained it back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you don't fight your body, mm-hmm. you actually work with it. That's when you get the happy weight. And that's when you feel your best mentally and physically. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. So throughout that process of, you know, going to maybe either side of the extreme or kind of, you know, your growth journey in that sense with the fitness side of it. I know you said, obviously you've been fit and, you know, through figure skating and Pilates, how was that progression? Like, have you always stayed focusing on fitness or have you always stayed with Pilates or have you gone through phases of, you know, different types of workouts? What has kind of been your journey fitness wise?
Oh my gosh, I've done everything. long story short, I've literally tried pretty much every single style of fitness. I started obviously working out when I was like 8 years old from figure skating. With figure skaters, a typical workout looks like HIIT workouts, weightlifting. Point is to improve our on-ice performance. So we're doing a lot of cardiovascular exercises paired with like resistance training because when you're skating, you're literally using like every muscle in your body while simultaneously like doing cardio. It's so yeah. intense. So that was kind of how the exercise was when I was skating. But for me, I was growing a lot when I was really, really training. And I got Osgood's Ladder is in my knee and tendonitis in my ankles. And I got to a point where I couldn't do the off-ice training that everyone else was doing. So my mom put me in bar when I was 15 and I fell in love with it. I was like too young to even take the class. There was like a whole special permission thing for it. But I loved bar so, so much. It was so fun. And the dancer in me was like thriving because I loved ballet. And so basically when I went to college, I continued to do, I like stopped skating. I slowed down a lot. So my knees and everything got a lot better. But then I went to college and started doing like weight training again. And I didn't have a car on campus. So I couldn't go to the Pure Bar by my college. So it was like too far. So I was doing like a lot of cardio, a lot of weightlifting stuff. And honestly, I was like loving it, but I kind of overdid it to an extreme. Mm-hmm. So I was still having some knee stuff flare up. And I moved to my apartment after my freshman year and it had a gym and I was going to the gym again. But then I started going to bar because I had a car and I like re-fell in love with bar. And it was like the workout that I could really stick with and I like loved. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so fun for me. And then in 2020, my friend invited me to become a fitness instructor for Pilates, reformer Pilates. And I was like, okay, I'm down. And I hadn't really done it a lot, but I started taking classes there and I was like, what the heck? This is so amazing. Like, it's literally pairing resistance training with weight with like the low impact stuff that I love obsessed with. And it was like my favorite style of exercise ever. And I like was in love with it. And then obviously COVID hit and all the studios closed. So I was like shifted to teaching online mat Pilates and online bar. And I kind of like blended the two to make bar and mat Pilates. And I was like, literally, this is amazing. So I stuck with it. And I started doing a lot of walking and a lot of low impact stuff. And I just found my body really vibing with low impact exercise. So I think like, obviously there's a lot of stuff on social media that's like, what's better, weightlifting or Pilates? And my short answer is literally doing whatever your body feels the best doing and like what you have more fun doing. And you can do both. Like there's no one or the other. For me, I don't do a lot of weightlifting just because my body physically can't handle it, unfortunately. So I do reformer Pilates as my like weightlifting kind of fix, I guess. But yeah, that's like long story short, that's how I got to where I am.
Yeah. I mean, I was excited to have this conversation because we both feel the same way when we talk about health and fitness. I'm like, I am a certified personal trainer. I myself lift and run and do cardio, and like that's typically what I work with people on. But at the end of the day, I'm just somebody who like wants you to feel healthy and be healthy with what you do, and that is like up to whatever makes you feel your best and what you can be consistent with. So when it comes to Pilates, like what is it about Pilates specifically that you think kind of hooked you to be that thing that you can be consistent with and that makes you feel your best?
I think for me, I have like such a short attention span, and Pilates like doesn't stop moving during class, and it's perfect for me because my focus is like, it's so meditative to me. Like I'm so just present and there's no like pauses. So with like weightlifting for me, like I kind of was finding I'd get like distracted when I would in between sets, and I'd be like on my phone and I was like, I don't know. It's like, isn't really my vibe. But then in Pilates, it was like constantly moving, and I was like, this is literally perfect. So I'm so focused, and it's like always changing them. Like you can have a base move and then add like circles, pulses, all this other stuff to it, and it's just like such a creative form of movement that for me it's like to the beat of music. It's like with counts, and it's just growing up like figure skating and being trained in like some ballet and stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, like this is just ingrained in me. So I think for me, like that's why it works, is like it's just blending all these different things that I've loved from figure skating with exercise.
Yeah, that's so cool. That like is a really good way to describe it. I have done reformer Pilates a few times in my life, never consistently, but I actually went last week, and it was like one of the best ones I had been to because it was somebody who like definitely focused a bit more. Like she made it feel like lifting a lot, you know, like because I think sometimes Pilates is a lot of like the smaller, lighter movements that like really burn and they work those small muscles. But like this one felt like a full body lift on the reformer. And I was like I felt like I just did a strength training workout, but it like still challenges you in a bit of a different way as well. So I like definitely enjoy Pilates. It's never been what I do consistently, but
yeah.
Did you like get the vibe of it?
Was your class Legree style?
I'm not sure. It was, I went to solid core.
Okay. Yeah. That's like more Legree style. So there's like a bunch of different styles of Pilates. And for me, I'm not a huge fan of classical Pilates because I find like, I don't know, sometimes I don't feel like I am challenged enough.
Yeah.
And with like the Legree style, it's so intense.
Yeah.
And it's, I like, for me, I like to work out and feel really challenged. And sometimes I don't though. Like if I'm low energy, I'm like, I don't want to feel like super intense workouts right now. But for on the days when I'm like, I cycle sync. So like in the, my like follicular and ovulatory phase, when I have like the most energy, I'm like, I want challenge. I want to be dripping in sweat. And for me, it's like doing a super intense, like some sort of resistance to my workout, whether it's a booty band, whether it's like Legree style Pilates. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the only, I think the only Pilates I've done is Legree, and it's like wild. Like I love it. You can't walk when you leave it. Like it's so good.
Yeah. Well, I think kind of the connotation around Pilates a little bit can be that it is like super like low impact, but maybe easy in that way, like not giving you that much resistance. And I'm the same way where it's like, if I'm working, I want to feel like I worked, like I want it to be hard. I want to leave being like, you know, like having that feeling that you like
challenge.
And so what, like, are there any other kind of myths surrounding Pilates like that, that you feel like people kind of have about it or that you're often debunking?
Okay. I would say the first one is that Pilates is too easy and it can't be like leveled up. And my short answer there is get a fabric resistance band off of Amazon and use it during the abs and the like the glute moves, and oh my gosh, like it will completely level up the game for you. And I always say like Pilates is one of those really cool things similar to weightlifting, how you can always make it harder for yourself, and that is literally adding resistance. Maybe that's ankle weights, maybe that's a resistance band, maybe you try adding sliders or like a Pilates ball. There's so many different equipment options you can add on, which is so fun. And I think the other thing too is like finding an instructor that you vibe with. Pilates is one of those things where it's called Pilates, but there's so many different types of Pilates and there's so many different styles of teaching. I have taken so many Pilates classes where I'm just like, this is my first class, like I would never return again to Pilates. Like I just didn't like it. And then I take someone else's class and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. So yeah, it's kind of shopping around and realizing that Pilates is not this like one size fits all thing. It's like so many different types of workouts within Pilates. So I think that, yeah, I think that's like the main myth. And also the second myth is a big one about a lot of people ask me, like, they like use like an Apple Watch or a Fitbit and they're like, I'm not burning a lot of calories in my workouts. Is this, does that mean it's not effective? And my answer is it's still very effective. And just because you're not burning a lot of calories doesn't mean the workout isn't good. And it comes down to like, if you do like a reformer Pilates class, like I've taken some of the hardest classes of my life and I've worn a Fitbit and burned like 200 calories. And I can tell you that listening to my body, that workout was really freaking effective.
Yeah. Because that also doesn't account for like recovery calories burned and like just your overall level of fitness being increased. And number one, workouts aren't about calories, but like you did burn more calories than 200 or whatever it said.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think like my answer is like, don't look at the calories you burn. Listen to how your body's feeling.
Yeah. Like if you're activating your muscles and you're feeling that, and if you feel like, cause I think, you know, you have a feeling after a workout, you can lift for an hour and a half, but you could be like not actually exerting that much energy or challenging yourself. You could be checking your phone and like, that's not very effective.
Yeah. You know? And sometimes the hardest workouts aren't always the best ones for you. And like, this just comes down to, I don't know if you guys are familiar with cycle syncing at all.
I was going to ask you, because I know that you called the Pilates that you do like cycle syncing Pilates, or you said that you cycle sync. I'm very curious
about
it. I
know of it. I know that it's a thing. I don't know any specifics. I've been meaning
to ask Carolina more. I want her to come back on our podcast and talk about it a lot, since I know that she has a lot of education.
But give us the rundown, and especially how that, you know, I know your program is cycle syncing Pilates. So how do those work together?
Okay, basically, to keep it concise enough to like where it's not too much information, it's all about listening to your energy levels. And it's like energy levels paired with hormone levels. So as women, our hormones, so basically men go through a 24-hour cycle with their hormones. Women go through between, I don't know, like 28 to 30 days, whatever. Like every single woman's cycle is a different length. But we have our cycle over the course of a month. And within the cycle, we have four different phases. And this is, so if you're on like birth control, like a hormonal birth control, it does affect the typical like cycle that a woman goes through, just because you're not ovulating if you're doing a hormonal birth control. So, but the typical ones that you go through are menstrual, which is when you're on your period. And then after that, you have your follicular, which is when, so period, you're like zero energy. You're so tired, all this stuff. As you enter follicular, your hormones start to increase again. You're getting more energy. You're feeling like feeling good again. And then you hit ovulatory, which is like a couple days when you ovulate, which is when you like release the egg, and that's when you can get pregnant. And you're like at your peak. You feel so good, so confident. You're like peak energy levels, feeling great. And then you hit your longest phase of your cycle, which is the luteal phase, and you're going to feel your hormones start to slowly go down. Maybe you have a lot of energy at the start of it, but as you enter the end of it, like the week before your period, you're like, oh my gosh, maybe mood swings. Maybe I personally am like, my week before my period, I am so in my head. I have no energy. I'm just like not a great version of myself. And then I hit the menstrual, and then it repeats. So basically, the whole point of cycle syncing is you can cycle sync your workouts, you can cycle sync your nutrition, you can cycle sync your work. But I personally, in my studio, focus on the fitness level of it. So doing workouts to match the energy levels that you're experiencing during each of the phases. So in my studio, I'll have phase one, menstrual phase. Super chill, slower paced workouts that are more stretching based, not super hard on your body, because when you're in your period, you should not be doing super intense workouts. Gonna increase your cortisol levels because your body's already doing so much with your period. And then as you go into the follicular phase, the workouts are a lot more cardio based. During the follicular and ovulatory phases, doing cardio is like amazing. And then in the luteal phase, it goes more into resistance training is awesome. So increasing resistance, all that jazz, slowing down the cardio. And then obviously if you need to enter more into stretches the week before your period, just listening to your body and whatever feels right. So that's the whole point of it. And it's like really empowering and cool to really get so in tune with how your body's feeling and working with it, not against it. That's like my literal mindset for everything. So yeah, like yesterday I literally did, I went on a walk, or no, this morning I went on a walk and I'm on my period right now and I was like dying. I was so tired and I was like, I'm just gonna go lay in bed for the rest of the day and that's fine. So yeah, it's like a little rundown on it.
Yeah, working with your body, not against it. I'm like, I say that too. I feel like we say so many of the same things.
I love it.
It's so good. I love it. But that's, it's all so interesting to me. I definitely want to learn more about it because I notice so much like correlation between like how I'm feeling and my confidence and my energy levels, like with my period as well. I feel like the past like 6 months or so, I've been like really making those connections of like, oh, I start to feel like really puffy and like literally like feel ugly and like the week before my period. And then I get super moody and I'm like, it's the same shit repeating every time. So I'm like, how do I work with that and not let it kind of like take over me?
It's actually really cool because you can also cycle sync with food as well. So like certain phases, you should be eating certain types of food to like, I'm not the most knowledgeable in the food area of it, but like my friend Maddie Miles, she is literally so like, she researches this stuff. Like she, I don't think she's a doctor. She might be a doctor, but if you guys should look her up, she has a ton of resources on like different foods to eat during your cycle and different workouts to do and like a lot of really great like educational resources for it. But it's cycle syncing is really cool. And I got into it because I love being intuitive with things.
Yeah.
And it's been like, I just feel super in touch with myself now. And I think that was like a huge part of my healing journey too, was cycle syncing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, that's definitely empowering to feel. It's just like one more way to feel aligned with yourself, which at the end of the day, I think is like the way that you're going to feel your best and healthiest and like just be your best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite question that I like to ask every guest is, what would be like your perfect ideal day, or what's your like,
or what's like a typical day?
Daily routine.
Before I tell you guys this, I have to share. I found on my old computer, on my photo booth, a recording of myself when I was like 12 years old, describing my perfect day.
Wait, can we hear both?
Yeah.
We need to hear like the contrast and the growth.
Yes, it was for like an advertisement that I was applying to be in. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I was not selected, but my perfect day, I lived in Texas at the time and it had a southern accent and I was like, my perfect day,
oh my god, beach
and drinking my hot chocolate. It was like it was, but honestly my perfect day is kind of similar still. It was like, go to the beach, get hot chocolate, hang out with my friends. Mm. Eat a lot of ice cream. That was like my perfect day in the video. Yeah. It was so funny. But
hot chocolate on the beach, that's like so conflicting, but I love it.
I know. I've always been a hot chocolate.
I mean, why not?
Girl. I don't know why. Like I've always been like that. But I think my perfect day would be having a slow morning, going to the beach and exploring. And just I definitely get like an acai bowl. Probably doing some sort of movement like walking or Pilates with friends, reading a book. Mm-hmm. I love reading fiction right now, so
me too.
Oh, so good. I love me it too.
It's such like a, because I feel like I work hard and my brain is turned on for so much of everything else I do in life. I'm like, I just need a fiction book. Yes. At some point in the day I just need to check out.
I'm reading Book Lovers by, oh my gosh,
is that on
Emily Henry?
You're kidding, like stop.
Are you serious? Why are we the same?
No, because it's literally on my couch right now.
They're like, dude, what are they?
I actually know, like I can't lie, like this is my roommate, she's reading it, but I did read it recently. We kind of have like a book rotation.
Yeah, I read like her other two, like Beach Read and the one, I can't remember the other one was, but I'm on like Book Lovers right now.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it.
I think I've read this. No, actually, I haven't read it. I started it because it's my roommate. So I started the chapter, but now she's reading it. So I'll have to read it after if it's good. But I read Beach Read by her.
It's like essentially all of her books are very similar plots. And
it
seems like it.
It's all like authors falling in love.
Yeah, it's all
authors. It's like authors falling in love.
I read Beach Read.
I know. I have.
They're like, I just read two others.
Recently I read Every Summer After and Love in Other Words. Those are the two that I have out that I just finished. They're both pretty good.
I love it. But yeah, I think like reading a fiction book always hits different, especially at night with like a candle next to your bed, like a salt lamp. It's the little things. And then I think also my perfect day would be cuddling with my dog and my boyfriend, because I like to cuddle and watch.
That part I can't relate to, but like everything else, we're right there.
Yeah, I think it's like, honestly, just like a simple day. That's like the perfect day. Slow day.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us and
those
past two episodes. Yeah, guys, reminder, if this is the first episode that you are listening of us and Callie, we just recorded one on her podcast, Healthy But Human, and that'll be linked below if you want to go click over and check out that episode and her podcast in general, as well as just check her out. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at I'm Sweaty and I Know It. My YouTube channel is Callie Jardine, and my Pilates studio is Sweaty Studio.
Yay. And if you are coming from Callie's podcast, we hope you enjoyed this episode and follow our show and stick around as well.
Yes.
We're happy to have you. All right. Okay. Thank you. And see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.